Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back into the Unidentified Alien Podcast Weekly Edition. It's Stephen Diener back with you on this part two of my newest, latest discussion with Special Operations Command analyst and U.S. military intelligence, Anthony Williams. Really fascinating part one that we had, speaking about a lot of unreported things, such as the mysterious giant black triangle UFOs, UAPs flying over some very sensitive and secret U.S. military installations where they house nukes. And that's not an old story. That's not something from the 60s with Robert Salas. That was from October of last year in 2023. So we spoke about that. And, of course, the orbs following Air Force One and a lot of other things in that part one. And we're going to continue the discussion here in part two with some of the new whistleblower details. I'm going to touch on that in a second. But first, before we get into the interview, I got to get on a couple things real quick. Number one, going back to that giant triangle story, the giant triangle UFO flying over, you know, the nuclear sites, nuclear weapon sites, secret military installations housing these things. When we spoke about that on part one, we recorded that part of the interview, and that instance, or that incident, I should say, went back to October of 2023, like I said. Now, what we didn't know, what Anthony didn't know, was that it happened again. He found this out after we did the interview, a couple of days after, and he called me and said, "You are not going to believe this." And so I want to relate to you what he told me literally just about a day or two ago, after part one came out. So, but it happened again, where the same giant black triangles were seen flying over, again, the same installation, secret nuclear sites that no one knows about unless you're in the know in the U.S. military, in military intelligence, like Anthony Williams is, and, you know, special operators. And these, this giant craft, black triangle, again, seen flying over the same spot. Lightning struck twice. This time it was on February 7th. So just about 2 weeks ago, as I stand here now talking to you about this, about 2 weeks ago from this date, it happened again. Same craft, same sighting, same spot. That is unbelievable to me. What we also didn't know, again, up until a couple of days ago, just to update you on the latest, was Anthony found out that on the first sighting, back in October of 23, this giant triangle craft was pursued. It was called in on radio airwaves with military members. They had two helicopters, each with four troops on there. So a total of eight troops flying on two helicopters toward this craft, pursuing it as it approached and went over this secret military installation housing U.S. nuclear weapons. As they got closer, it darted off. Where have we heard that before? So many instances and so many times we have heard details like this, where we have these things flying over U.S. military bases, you know, sensitive sites. And now not only did it happen once, but it happened twice at the same site with the same type of giant black triangle craft. The first time that was actually pursued by two military helicopters. And you don't hear about this anywhere. I haven't heard about it anywhere other than what Andy Williams is telling me. And again, obviously, he has the inside information. This story is incredible to me. It's startling to me. And it's fascinating all at the same time because this thing was seen by numerous people, civilian and otherwise, and pursued by military members in military aircraft, helicopters to be precise. And you haven't heard a thing about it. It's just, it's incredible to me. So if more details come out about this, it's a huge, huge deal we're talking about here. This is a massive thing, and it's not being talked about anywhere, nowhere in the news, nowhere online. Going to try to find out more information as it comes out, because obviously it's a developing thing kind of in real time as this stuff happens. So I wanted to update you on that first, because that's a major story. And then outside of that, you're going to hear again today, so let me get into that. You're going to hear about this new whistleblower. So I tweeted out about this back in at the beginning of the year, actually, first week of January here in 2024. And I said that there was a new whistleblower coming out sometime this year, and he has firsthand knowledge about the UAP discussion and reverse engineering and, you know, the existence of other life. And he was going to come out and talk about these things soon, sometime this year. Now, I didn't really, you know, I wasn't able to give a lot of details, if any, other than that at that time. But in this interview, what you're going to hear pretty much right at the start, where we pick back up and I ask Anthony Williams, what can he tell us about that whistleblower? So you're going to hear that to start off. And then we're going to go into the second part of and the last part, how the show ends, which is Anthony's asking me questions. And I hope you find that as interesting as he did. He felt like, I got to get these questions out there because a lot of people are wondering where you stand on a bunch of different things and kind of my background and, you know, behind the scenes type stuff that he was kind of getting into there. It was almost like a 2020 interview. So some pretty fun stuff in there, too, that I think you might enjoy as well, hearing kind of behind the scenes of my life that Anthony was asking about. So all of that and more here in this interview, part two, myself, Anthony Williams. Here we go. Here's the part with the whistleblower as we begin. I got to ask you about this whistleblower. So again, I spoke about it at the beginning of the show. I kind of made waves, which I tend to do not on purpose. It just happens for whatever reason. I make some waves sometimes on social media where I said, yeah, this whistleblower is going to come out. And all of a sudden it was this avalanche of support and of haters at the same time, which is usually how it goes in social media. And I said, no, like this is going to happen. This guy is high level. This guy is legit. He spoke to David Grush. He gave David Grush firsthand testimony. And some time has gone by on this. You and I have been speaking about this behind the scenes. And I think we both agreed that it's okay timing wise to at least talk about some of this now. What can you tell us about this whistleblower? When are we going to find out more about him and what he knows? And I guess, where is he now?
Yeah. So let's start with your last question. Where is he now? I don't know where he is now. And when I say I don't know where he is, I mean, he's unlocatable. He did what we call going dark. He is off everything. This guy was part of our community, a major contributor for a long time in the intelligence community for several decades. And like many of us in that group, we have our own personal experience that drove our interest to want to collaborate and help the greater community solve some of these, you know, questions that we all have. And this individual, as we were cataloging, you know, personal stories, came out with his own personal story. And it is spectacular. It is. I will say that this incident, the way this came out is it was spotted online, a director board, the kind that you snap, you know, when you say action, when you're filming a movie, a director board, an image was caught online during a major one of the more well-known documentary producers on the topic is coming out with a new documentary, and this individual's name was on there. So he has already been filmed telling his story. And that documentary is supposed to come out later this summer. It got brought up in the group. There was a lot of support initially, and then there was some real concern about whether or not this individual is going through the correct whistleblower protections. Part of me wants to wait for the world to hear his story in his own voice, but I will say a few things. His incident was known. It followed a mass sighting in the 90s. I'll time frame it that way. There was a mass sighting in the U.S. in the 90s. His work with the military put him in the area of the mass sighting just a week and a half after the incident. They were briefed on the incident and warned to go from point A to point B. Don't stop. Don't engage with anyone. Just drive through this area and get to where you need to be for your work. His account has firsthand interaction with a non-human being. And the reason why that story is important is because the other witnesses that were with him, one has completely disappeared. Another one was removed from duty in less than a year. And this individual was allowed to carry on his work in the intelligence community, continue on to higher levels of classification to the point where he retired and then began doing this type of work in the civilian field for the government. So his story is extremely credible. It is the first time we have someone willing to say, not only have I seen firsthand, I interacted with and communicated with, and here's my story.
Wow.
I feel like I should probably leave it there, just because I don't know where he is. So within days after this, one of the things he put out is, hey, if anyone wants to discuss or meet up, talk about any of these topics that we're discussing, here's where I work, let's meet up. And, most of us work within, a half dozen different locations. So I went back to reach out to him and he's gone. He's no longer in the group. He's not only no longer in the group, but he is not locatable on any government network, classified or unclassified. And I can't even find anything on him in just regular internet searches, Google searches. There's nothing. So when I asked the group admins, there are five that run this collaborative site, this classified site, they also would not talk about it. Wow. So I think he is still going through whatever process he needs to go through to make this official. And I would just tell all the listeners, I'm assuming that your listeners are in every different phase where we've all been in, where this is interesting, all the way up to I'm going to do my own homework and I'm going to do my own research. And there tends to be a knee-jerk reaction for lack of patience, lack of believability. I need to see it with my own eyes. I need to touch it. I need to, I want all the information right now. I would just say anything with this topic, exercise as much patience as you can. These things are going to come out. There is a process. You're dealing with people's lives, their livelihoods, their ability to take care of their family in some cases, if they lose their clearance, lose their jobs, have their retirement shut off. All those are real possibilities that these type of people face. So, when these whistleblower protections are tried to put in and then they're voted out, that makes it a challenge. So I think that's probably a safe place where we can leave that right now. That's maybe a little bit more than I was going to say, but I'm going to throw it back to you on that one, buddy.
Yeah, no, I got you. And I appreciate that because it's going to be a game changer when all that comes out. And I appreciate you going as far as you can with that. Because I know it's a very sensitive conversation and there's details in there that have not been made public yet. There's obviously a lot of things that go into it when it comes to, like you said, protections for this person. Obviously we're not seeing any names for obvious reasons. But hopefully it's somebody that, as long as they are kept in the documentary, And then out of race from that as well, the one that's coming out here, you know, like you said, later this summer, that we're going to hear his story.
Yeah. If that happens, if we can't find him, he's gone and his story's not in the documentary, I'll go full throttle. if nothing else for the, you know, for the protection of this guy, you know, you've heard other people, you know, going all the way back to Bob Lazar, going public for fear of their own safety, you know, and this individual expressed that to the group as well. So, you know, my belief is right now that he's gone dark, not out of anything nefarious, but just want to keep a low profile while he goes through the process. That's what everything's pointing to, but, yeah, his story is going to come out one way or the other. I hope you hear it from him and you don't have to hear it from me.
So, well, if we do, we can do it right here on UAP. But hopefully, like you said, hopefully it is from him for a lot of reasons. But just to wrap that up, this is real. This guy is real. His story is real to the best of your knowledge. This is a person with very high credibility and a lot of clearances and a tenured career within the military. Like, this isn't something that's is BS, right?
No, there were two. There was his vehicle and a trail vehicle that all witnessed this incident. So, no, this is 100% as real a firsthand account I've ever heard. And it will, if you don't get goosebumps when you hear it from his mouth, you know, I don't know what would make your skin crawl more.
Firsthand contact and communication with an extraterrestrial. That is, I hope we hear that very soon, and I hope he stays protected as well. And when the time is right, he can come out. Man,
yeah,
some amazing things coming.
Yeah, yep.
All right, well, I think this is going to be amazing. I'm a little nervous. So we'll get to it here because you gave us a lot of time here, Anthony, here on UAP. Thank you so much again for joining Unidentified Alien Podcast Weekly Edition for another discussion. I think this is the third time you're on the show. And you know, the time that you give to talk about all this and to give your perspective on what you know, the information you come across, these are things that we talked about here today. A lot of it, the vast majority of it, has never been made public until this episode today. A lot of these sightings, and especially what we just spoke about right now with those details. So I will return the favor and now hand it over to you, hand over the host baton to you. This is something that you came to me with and you said, "Hey, Steve, I would love to do an interview with you. I have a lot of questions that I would like to ask you. And what do you think?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, let's go for it." So I'm excited. All kidding aside, I'm excited. I can't wait to see what you have for me. So let's go for it. On the back half of this episode, what do you got for me, Anthony?
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
I'm really excited about this. And for a lot of the listeners, I think probably, first of all, I'm the fortunate one. I think probably a lot of people that listen to this and have followed this podcast probably have a lot of the same questions that I did. And for everyone else that doesn't know, you know, this is part of what I do for a living as an analyst is dig into things, very similar to folks in our media that do the same thing. So, you know, Steve, you and I over the last couple of years have developed, a professional, we'll say professional relationship, but, you know, it's kind of delved into somewhat of a friendship. And I realized, you know, like with a lot of friends that you meet that start as work friends, I have a lot of questions. And I think a lot of the listeners probably have the same questions. So I'm excited that you handed over the microphone to me. And, you know, basically, if anyone starts at episode one, all you know about Steven is that he grew up in South Florida, that he works for a radio station. He's been very interested in UFOs and UAP for a long time and has this mythical book of stories that he has collected over the years. Full stop. And then he starts his podcast. Very frustrating to the rest of us that have to listen to this. We have questions. So I'm going to jump into it. I am going to attempt to do you justice, my friend. So, you know, I want to go through your background, your school life, work, and then we're going to get into the bulk of this UAP topic. But, you know, let's start with background, home life. Where were you born? Where'd you grow up?
Yeah. So, all right. A little bit about me. I feel like it's one of those icebreakers where like you stand up in your class and you say like who you are, where you're from.
Yep. Yep.
And that's, yeah, I guess that's always been the thing. You know, when it comes to the podcast and why I never really talked about myself until right now is I guess I don't find myself very important. I'm a very self-deprecating person. A lot of self-deprecating humor is what you'll find with me, you know, if you know me personally. So my thing has always been, I'm just coming on here to talk to you guys and give you the information that I have. So I'm glad we can do this today, though. I didn't know anybody was interested in what I had.
You are already dodging my questions, my friend.
I'll go ahead and answer. I guess the basics. So actually born and raised in South Florida, which surprises a lot of people because there's not a lot of us native Floridians. A lot of people come here from different states, you know, New York and California and places like that, especially New York. My parents actually came here from New York back in the 70s, and they never went back. So born in Boca Raton, Florida, was raised there. It's like Southern Palm Beach County. For anybody who's not familiar, it's like right there, almost on the county line with Broward County. But yeah, born and raised down here my whole life. You know, went to school down here, high school, a little bit of college, didn't stick around for too much college. I had other interests that I wanted to get into. So that's, you know, few siblings. I'm one of four. And
where are you in that? Where are you in that group of four?
Now I'm number three. So I was always picked on as you know, kind of like in the middle.
Okay.
I was the buffer for my little sister and fodder for my big brother and big sister.
Nice. Now your parents, let's get back to them. What did they do for a living? What are their professions?
They met up in the Brooklyn area back in, you know, I guess late 60s. And so again, like they came down here in the 70s to South Florida, started working. My dad was always in more of like the sales realm of things, kind of went into business for himself doing, it's a weird profession actually, but something he still does to this day, works from home for the past 30 years, actually.
Wow.
As a meat broker.
Wow.
So he was kind of like the middleman going in between the big companies and, you know, the distributors and helping to broker, you know, sales and deals.
Yeah.
So he's done that for a long time and, you know, was thankfully able to provide for us as we grew up. And my mom was the last of a dying breed in our society. She was a housewife. She stayed home with us and we drove her crazy growing up. We were always causing trouble. But God bless her. She was always able to to handle us somehow. I only have two kids, and I always think back on that because my mom had passed away 18 years ago now almost. And I think back on that sometimes, and I kind of look up and I laugh and I say, "Mom, how did you deal with us? I have two." I think she laughs at me sometimes. I can almost hear her laughing like, "This is what you get. Now you know." So that's, I guess a little background there.
Yeah. So great home life in South Florida with your folks, mom, you know, I read something a few years ago that said the equivalent salary of what a housewife and mother, the salary would be, a median salary of $93,000 a year is what that job works. So, you know, all the credit to the moms out there and any moms at home listening. What do you think about your parents was the biggest, you know, something that really impacted you that sticks with you to this day or drives you or helps shape you to the man you are today, the husband, the father, the person?
I think honesty was a big thing. I always saw my parents were always honest with each other. My mom, sense of always trying to be truthful, always trying to be honest and trustworthy to people around you, because if you're not, then how are you going to be able to really, you know, honestly be successful in life, in relationships? Honesty and you know, being trustworthy are such two huge characteristics that I think I got from them that I try to pass on to my kids now too, because it's very important. Those are two very important characteristics to have, I think.
100%. And it's sad when characteristics like that are the rarity today. And that's such a solid takeaway to get, you know, from any mentor in life, but especially from your parents. We're gonna shift gears a little bit here. You growing up, you're in school. What kind of things was Stephen Diener into? Were you the athlete? Were you the bookworm? What got you going?
A little bit of both, actually. It's funny because I was kind of like a chameleon in school. I fit in with everybody. I was kind of like that kid that, you know, I was friends with the jocks. I was friends with the nerds. I was friends with like all the different cliques. You know what I mean? But I guess the main interest has really still loved sports. I mean, sports. And that's the funny thing about it. I started my radio career, so to speak, for sports. I came into radio to be a sports media guy. I wanted to talk about South Florida sports. You know, I'm a big South Florida sports fan with the Dolphins and the Heat and the Miami Hurricanes, everything, you know, all the teams like that. And my thing was, my passion was like, I got to get into sports radio, host a sports talk show, and talk about all these athletes and these teams. And, you know, it's what I love. And be a sports broadcaster. I wanted to be Al Michaels. I wanted to be Joe Buck, you know, and all these guys that, you know, Bob Costas and all these guys that you see announcing games, do play-by-play of games. I love that. That's stuff that I still have a passion for to this day. So that was always kind of my thing. I remember my senior year, they asked us, you know, that where do you see yourself in 10 years type thing?
Yeah.
You know, I remember I wrote on my paper, obviously, that it was going to be announcing the Super Bowl. And obviously that didn't happen, but that was always kind of my driving force was I wanted to get into sports radio. And that's kind of, you know, led me down the path of where I am today. Oddly enough.
We're going to back up just a little bit and unpack a little bit of that. So that's been your motivation for a long time is the sports got you into broadcasting. You mentioned that you went to college just for a little bit. How did you meet your wife?
Wow. That is a story. So maybe this has to do with aliens. I don't know. Maybe this was.
I think all of us hopes it does.
Maybe aliens played a part because this is really kind of a wild story. I didn't meet my wife in school. It was actually after that because coming out of college, I kind of got into, you know, different jobs. I was actually coaching high school football for a little bit. Got into like some different sales, like insurance and things like that. I even went into be a firefighter. I went, you know, I aced all my EMT preparation and went through classes and did hospital time. Like I have a crazy background, you know, things that you wouldn't think of that I was actually into, but I didn't meet my wife through any of that. I actually met her, believe it or not, on MySpace.
Wow. Okay. For anyone listening that is under the age of 35,
I was going to say 35. Yeah.
MySpace was Facebook before Facebook, and you need you needed to program your own space and copy and paste algorithms. Now, when you want to put your name on Instagram or Facebook, you just go to the spot that says name and you type.
That's right. None of
that existed. So, wow, you just brought back some social media history there, my friend.
Boy, I'll tell you, I say maybe aliens were involved because it was just one day. And she says I lie about it. She's like, oh, no, you definitely friend requested me. But I never friend requested her. It was just one day I signed on to my MySpace and it said that I had a friend request approved. And I was like, well, I didn't send anything out to anybody, but okay. And I click on it and I saw her and I'm like, well, she's kind of hot. I don't know who she is, but like she's really attractive. So I was like, I'll just send her a message and see what happens. And we started talking and well, here we are today, 16 years later.
Wow. Okay. So,
a cosmic connection.
Yeah. So that was the, that was way before any other dating sites. You made your own. That's amazing. Now your wife, what does she do?
She's actually in the medical field. So she does x-ray and kind of not a nurse, but like a, what do you call it? Like a radiological technician and, medical assistant. She's into that area. So God bless her because she did that all through COVID too. And that wasn't easy.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we're going to transition to the part that I think a lot of people are interested in hearing about.
Let's do it.
First and foremost, just like every superhero that's ever existed, what is your origin story? When did you first get the UFO UAP bug, what created this for you?
It's funny because I did not want anything to do with this discussion, with aliens, with UFOs. I was terrified of this growing up. My dad would put on X-Files. And as soon as I heard that, the old X-Files theme, we all know it. As soon as I heard that come on, I would run out of the room. I'm like, no, get it away. I'm scared. But for whatever reason, I would say around, I don't know, maybe after I graduated high school in that area, it just became an interest for me. There was like this spark that I was like, you know, I wonder what this is. And I started to kind of dive in more into the Philadelphia experiment. Actually, two of the things that got me into this world were the Philadelphia experiment, which I covered in a 2-part series on UAP, which those were two of my favorite episodes I've ever done because it was personal to me. And Edgar Cayce, the life and story of Edgar Cayce. Those two things are really early on, probably around 18, 19 years old, kind of got me into all this. And then it just kind of was a deep dive from there, from, you know, the ancient alien aspect, you know, how did we build the pyramids? The question that everybody asks. And it just kind of snowballed from there, starting to learn about all these different things and all the, you know, like you said, the mythical handbook that I have with all my stories. And that's kind of where it came from.
Yeah, we're getting to that one next. So, you know, it's, you know, you and Karen back in the early episodes talked about your mythical book of UFO stories. Is it an actual book? Do you have like a journal, like a book, or is it a digital file? How did you start cataloging these things?
It's all on my phone, actually. So I guess in the cloud, it's all on my notes app. And as I would watch a show, which is why it's always such a thrill for me personally to speak to someone like Nick Pope or Robert Salas when I've had them on the show, because those are guys that I watched that taught me so much about this subject. And a lot of notes I took, actually one of the first notes I took on my mythical handbook, as we say, was the name Nick Pope. I wrote down Nick Pope, former British Ministry of Defense, ancient aliens, because that's when I really started to get into this stuff. And so It's all on my phone. It's just stuff that when I was watching shows or documentaries, I would go in and write different notes. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, there's this name. There's that date. So that's kind of how that's evolved. And I can tell you, there's a lot on there. I haven't even scratched the surface on that. That's like 5 years worth of notes on my phone.
That is the best news for all of us that are a fan of the show. Because everyone's wondering, when do the stories run out? That's great news. That's great news. So it's an actual, you are keeping track of these things. What led you to start the podcast? What motivated you to do that? Other than just personal interest, what was the nudge that got you to take that leap?
Actually, it was, you mentioned Karen earlier. We were coworkers. We were here in the same building. She moved on to another location a couple of years ago, or about a year and a half ago. But she came to me one day and she said, you know, why don't you do a podcast about this stuff? Because it was just, we would talk about it in casual conversation. And I'm like, I don't know. And then I started telling her about, you know, the handbook, as we call it. And she's like, are you serious? You have all this stuff written down? I'm like, yeah, I do. And I'm like, I don't know why I do. I just felt like it was so compelling to me that I would write all this stuff down. And I thought, maybe I'll write a book one day. I don't know. I'm just going to keep writing things down. And that's when she said to me, she's like, you should make him do a podcast. You have all these notes. You have all this knowledge. Start talking about these things. Maybe people will like it. And I was like, all right, maybe someone's going to listen. I don't know. Yeah. And now here we are.
What are, you know, as you started the podcast, you got Karen nudging you in the background. You've done a lot of homework on your own, you know, leading up to this. What have been some of the biggest challenges that you had, you know, getting this thing going, or that you've had to overcome since it started?
Time, man, time is consistently my worst enemy. It's so incredibly time consuming to put together an episode. Quite frankly, that's why there's only 77 UAP episodes. I could probably have double that by now. I say 77, not counting what we've done, you know, the episodes you and I have done on UAP Weekly or any other interviews or things like that. Those are all separate. There's only 77 UAP episodes, original UAP, because it just takes me so much time to put those together. The writing, the producing, the organization of thoughts, the rough drafts. It's extremely time consuming. And anybody who has a family and a full-time job knows time is a commodity and it's hard to find. So that is consistently my biggest challenge. And I hope to have more of those UAP episodes out soon, because like I said, there's a lot of ideas I want to cover.
So let's unpack that a minute. So UAP Weekly versus a full episode, how much time do you think you spend preparing for a UAP Weekly versus a full episode?
I mean, to give an idea, I won't use you as an example because you and I have conversations on and off as it is, just, you know, kind of exchanging notes and things like that. But I'll go back to an interview I did before this with Paulina Martinez. She was somebody that I came across. She has a major presence on TikTok. That consisted of a 30-minute conversation on the phone and some direct messages. And then we did the interview. So okay. That was just, you know, that's this. I hate to say it like this because it sounds like it's not work, but this is easy for me. Having a conversation, I'm going to write down some notes about some things that we've spoken about, and we'll expound on those and make it really interesting and intriguing conversation, make things that people have never heard before, which we've been fortunate enough to do and I've been fortunate enough to do on the show. That's easy to me. The hard part is the UAP, the original UAP, because that will take me anywhere between, all said and done, 6 to 8 hours of prep, of producing, of recording, of post-production, and getting those out. That's about a 6 to 8 hour process that is normally split up between multiple days.
Okay. So with that, knowing the time that it takes and all these episodes, I mean, this has been a major, you know, part of your life, outside your regular broadcasting work, family, all that. What does your wife think about this? How did she react when you said, hey, I'm going to start a podcast about UFOs and UAP?
She thought it was cool. She was like, yeah, you know, you're interested in it. You know a lot about it. That's what people always told me too. Like, oh yeah, you know so much about it. Well, you might as well talk about it. And to me, it was always just kind of normal. I didn't think of myself as like, you know, this aficionado, this expert. It was just something that I'm interested in. And it was funny to get that outside perspective from people like my wife to say, yeah, you know, you know all about this. You have all these notes. You might as well, you know, make a show about it. So she was all for it from the beginning. And, you know, I give her a lot of credit because a lot of the time that I spend on the original UAP writing that is at home. And that means, you know, I'm not spending time with her. I'm not spending time with my kids. They're usually doing something else while I'm writing or producing. So I give her a lot of credit because without her help and support on it, we wouldn't have UAP, quite frankly.
Your brain needs support. And new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Olly.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do either you, have either you or her had your own personal experience, seen anything, witnessed anything?
You know, that's the funny thing about me. I really haven't. You know, I've spoken to so many people. You've had personal experience. You and your wife have a personal experience of sighting. I really haven't had anything out of the extreme ordinary. I've seen some weird things in the sky that I'm like, what the heck is that? But other than that, you know, it wasn't like something life-changing, you know, that I was like, okay, that's, I have to film this right now. I can't believe what I'm seeing. You know, no abduction experiences, no weird dreams. It's just, for whatever reason, I've always seen myself, I think I'm more of an observer of the subject. Maybe that's what I was chosen for, was to be an observer and not necessarily an experiencer. I don't know.
You're interested in the UFOs. We got to get the UFOs interested in you. I want to hear your abduction story one day. This will be good.
If it happens, I'll let you know.
You know, you talked about some of the stories that got you started. What's been your favorite episode that you've done so far?
Oh, man. It's really hard. There's a lot of them, honestly. One of the ones that just I put out last week, UAP Greatest Hits, was The Miracle of the Sun. That's one of my favorites because that I got to mix faith and supernatural, extraterrestrial all into one ball. And I found that to be really challenging to have that discussion of, was this something faith-based in a miracle from God, you know, through the Virgin Mary, that these people in Fatima saw the sun dancing in the sky. And this, you talk about a mass sighting. That was a mass sighting. They saw the sun dancing in the sky. They were soaking wet, and then they were all dry. After the sun danced in the sky, it looked like it was crashing down on them. People were in mass hysteria. Like, that was a true mass sighting a little over 100 years ago. So, you know, almost modern times. So I love discussing that because it is a true mystery. Like I said, almost modern times. And then the one that I just came out, I love the Dulce based story. I love Rendlesham Forest, all those stories. But the one that I just did a few months back, it was called The Tears of Jimmy Carter. It was episode 74. I think that's the episode I'm most proud of because of the work I put into that. It took a lot of time to put that together, and it took a lot of introspective thought of how am I going to approach this conversation. And I think I'm most proud of that one because of how it came out. I think that I was really happy with how that episode came out.
Well, I think it's very, you know, it's very apparent to me, and I think it's very apparent to a lot of the listeners or viewers, the amount of background work and care that you put into the episode, and your heart really comes through in your episode. So that's, you know, if you ever wondered that, that definitely makes it out and makes it to all of us. And I think for me, at least personally, that's been part of my draw to your podcast and to these stories. Along that line, you know, when you started the podcast, it was getting, you know, you just said it was getting these things out there, getting these stories out there. You know, what is your personal goal for the podcast? Is there something that you hope it accomplishes? Is there something, you know, an ultimate goal that you have?
Yeah, I think it's two pronged, and that's it's a good question. I appreciate it because the first goal is really just to see the continued growth of audience. Because I think it's such an important discussion to have right now. And I think it's an important discussion for people to be willing to have. I think this is a discussion that a lot of people aren't willing to have. They don't want to entertain the thought of outside, you know, life outside of this planet or interdimensional life or whatever it might be, or maybe both, because it's too much for them to comprehend. We're all busy. We're all focused on our daily lives at home. We all have bills and mortgages and rent to pay and the groceries to afford and things like that. So we're all preoccupied with the everyday things. And I think a lot of people, whether it's faith-based, a lot of people don't want to challenge their faith even. And they feel like if they're having this discussion or they're entertaining these thoughts, that it's somehow going to muddy the waters of their faith, or it's going to distract them from, you know, well, aliens aren't paying my bills, so I'm not going to worry about it. Well, I think this is,
yeah,
you know, it's a discussion that I think if I can make people more willing to have to entertain it, at least,
yep,
that's definitely a goal of mine. And again, just the continued growth. I love to see this just from a personal professional standpoint. I would love to see this become a thing that, you know, is kind of a household name one day. I think that would be great, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're doing your part. That's, you know, now that's on us to spreading the word. So, if you're listening, tell a friend about this, you know, and, yeah. Anyway, I've got one question for you that I've been wanting to ask you since the very first episode I ever listened to. And you may not want to answer this because it puts you on the spot, but I don't care. You're on the Anthony Williams show, not the Stephen Diener show right now. So I get to ask this and you have to answer. One of the tenets of your show, one of your mottos has always been, I'll let you decide. Mm-hmm. You put the stories out there. You just want to state what has been stated. You just want to tell the story in its entirety and then let the listener decide. Okay. What do you believe? What do you have a gut feeling that drives you with this? What do you think's happening that we're seeing with the phenomenon? All these sightings, all these stories.
So, no, it's funny you say that I wouldn't want to answer because it is something I try to avoid. <It's>,
know, I'm not letting you get away with this one.
it's okay. But, you know, not to show bias, I guess, is my thing. It's always I want to show the interest. And like you said, I'm glad that comes across because that's always been my goal, is to be interested with you, to have the conversation with you has always been my goal with the show, sure, as well. But what I believe personally, there's something going on. And there is, and I don't think it's all human. I'll give you an example, actually. I saw this, excuse me real quick, because I have to break into my phone to actually see this. It was something I took a screenshot of.
You mean the Magic Book of Secrets?
That's right. On the Magic Book of Secrets, I can go into there. And as an example, this was something I actually saw on social media on the Twitter handle Latest in Space. So I'll give them credit on this. Astronomers have discovered this news just came out last night. Astronomers have discovered the brightest object in the universe. According to their studies, it's 500 trillion times brighter than the sun. It's powered by a black hole that eats a sun a day. And the light from this object took 12 billion years to reach Earth. So wow. If you take that into account, if you take something like that into account, even if you say some of that is complete, you know, malarkey, whatever you want to say, just to think about something like that. And it allows you to start to fathom the vastness, the unimaginable vastness of the universe. So with those things in mind, I just can't see that we're the only ones here. When you hear about something like that and couple that with the sightings from people like yourself, reputable people, people within the military, people within government, people that have had personal experiences throughout their lives, not just once, throughout their lives, and have these regression therapy sessions where they unlock these memories. Like there's too much over millennia that's I can't ignore.
Yeah.
Personally, I can't see all that and look at all that and hear all these stories and see all these testimonials and say to myself, yeah, but nothing's going on. No, something's happening. And whether it's from life outside of our planet, whether it's from life inside of our planet, interdimensional beings, maybe all three, there is other life, is what I believe. And for whatever reason, we aren't at the point yet where we are able, for whatever reason that is, whether it's a cover-up or from a consciousness standpoint, to make that contact and have that definitive answer that we are not alone, because I don't believe we are.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And, you know, like you and I have talked about in the past, you know, quantity has a quality all of its own. And to have that much information, there's definitely something going on there. You know, I'm going to throw it back to you, but I just want to thank you for everything you're doing. you know, thank you for the stories. Thank you for being bold enough to step out of your comfort zone and put this on there. And I know a lot of other listeners will agree with me that, you know, we appreciate what you do every week, you know, and everything that's happening in the backgrounds. And I think most of us can relate, either we have families or we're part of a family or and have all the other obligations of life going on. I will just say here on the Anthony Williams Show before it turns to the Stephen Diener UAP podcast again, you heard it here. If you want to connect with Stephen, just go to MySpace. And I'm assuming that account is still active. No? Okay.
Actually, yes.
For anyone under the age of 35, please don't break your electronic device when you realize how frustrating MySpace is. And my friend, it is always good talking to you. It is great to be on these episodes with you. And I enjoy being a listener, just like so many other people. So I'm going to hand it back to you, buddy.
Well, I really appreciate that, Anthony. And thank you for all those words, for the compliments. And thank you for the questions. That was fun. Everyone enjoyed it as well. And I think you did. I enjoyed it. I know you enjoyed it. So I think that was something that was a lot of fun. I'm glad we did that. It was, I think, cool to kind of get that perspective out there. So thank you for that, for taking the time to come up with those. And, you know, I always enjoy having you on here because you offer perspective that is extremely unique and you give us stories and insight that, quite frankly, we're not getting anywhere else. So thank you for being willing to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I love being a part of this, you know, even just as a listener, I love being part of it. And I know that so many of your listeners feel the same way. And hopefully some of my questions that I had that I wanted to get to the meat of the life of Stephen Diener, hopefully some other people had those same questions too. And thanks for being willing to be transparent with us, brother. And you always are, but you know, to your point, I think it's uncomfortable for a lot of us to talk about ourselves. And thanks for sharing with us, brother.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And thank you all for listening here on this UAP Weekly. It's been a lot of fun and it's been really educational. So we'll leave it at that. Anthony Williams, thanks again so much for everything and for all the time you spent here today. It's been a blast. I really appreciate it. And I know we'll talk again soon if things continue to develop.
Absolutely.
And there we have it. Really fun stuff. Hopefully you enjoyed all of that. I know it was different, obviously. So hopefully you still enjoyed, you know, some different content there, a different feel, kind of a behind the scenes look at myself, you know, my background. I would never do that voluntarily, but Anthony said, hey, you know what? I think this will be a lot of fun. I think people will enjoy it. He wanted to get those questions out there. So I said, sure, I'm all for it. Let's do it. So hopefully you enjoyed that as much as we did. And obviously with the whistleblower information, that's game changing stuff. If and when it comes out, or when the whistleblower comes out, when he comes out of hiding, when the story comes out sometime this year, hopefully this all goes public sooner rather than later. I don't have a timetable on this. There's been no timetable really presented to me. I've only just speculated that sometime around summer, but I could be off on that. I don't really know, but hopefully it is sometime sooner rather than later when this whistleblower comes out and can fully tell his story, because there's details there that Anthony could not give. That, again, if this gets out and it can be, you know, backtracked and proven somehow is true, we're talking about real game-changing stuff here. The conversation will absolutely take a turn when it comes to disclosure once, if and when this whole thing does come out. But that's the most that we could offer, that Anthony could offer. But that's really big stuff that has not been released anywhere else. So thank you again to Anthony for being comfortable enough to do that without releasing any of the real, you know, pertinent stuff like names and dates and some of the other fine details. So we'll take a break after that two-parter and come back and regroup and come back with more soon right here on UAP. Of course, you can follow along on the show anywhere on social media at UA Podcast 850. Mostly Twitter is where I'm most active, but anywhere, TikTok, YouTube, all that good stuff is where you can find me at UA Podcast 850. And on email, sdienerUAP, it's sdienerUAP@gmail.com. You can reach out to me there. I always love reading emails from you guys. I don't always get to respond as quickly as I would like to. I will fully admit that, and that is my own fault, and that's something I'm working on. It's just a timing thing, but I do get back to everybody as quickly as I can. So if you have something to say to me, your own story that you want to relate, or just a comment, by all means, sdeaneruap@gmail.com if you prefer email. But other than that, that'll do it for today and for this edition, this latest two-part series of UAP. It's Stephen Diener here on the Unidentified Alien Podcast. Much more to come in the future. A lot of good stuff coming up here in the very near future and this year. I can't wait for it all. Who knows what it all holds, but I know we'll be here talking about it. Until then, be well, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks.